In Psalm 139, we read that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has created us with everything we need in order to live. We grow and develop in the comfort of our mother's womb. And when we are fully formed at birth, we have everything, and everything changes. All of our senses begin to respond to the outside world. We may not remember feeling the hands that lifted us out when we were born, helping us to take our first breath. And when our ears were opened, hearing the noise of our own crying, or seeing the bright, dazzling light in our eyes, and then being placed on our mother's breast to take our first drink. As time goes on, we begin to use our hands to walk and to speak. But in addition to our physical senses, we have God created us as a living soul and gave us a mind to think and emotions such as joy and sadness and fear. But he also gave us the capacity to love. When you think of love, what comes to your mind? Well, there are different types of love. Love can range from a simple enjoyment of something, like perhaps a love for cooking, to an unconditional act of giving toward another person's well-being without expecting anything in return. Unconditional love means that you accept people as they are, with all their strengths and weaknesses, their virtue, as well as their faults equally. They don't have to satisfy any specific conditions for you to love them. A mother may love her child unconditionally. It doesn't depend on the child showing their love for the mother. You may agree that this is the greatest type of love that we are capable of. A love that only involves our emotions, but also a love that expresses itself in action. It's selfless, sacrificial. Is this the type of love that we're to have for God? We may say that we have love for God. We go to church. We do all we can for others. Well, that's good. That's right. But is this love that John is speaking about in the text that we have just read, is that the love that we need in our passage? What we're looking here is in 1 John chapter 4. The word love is mentioned 11 times in verses 7 to 11. And I want us to consider three ways this evening what we're told about God's love, what it is, and how it constrains us to obey his command to love one another with the love that he has first given to us. So why are we to love him and to love others? Well, firstly, we'll see, because God commands us. God commands us to love. And secondly, because God is love. And thirdly, because God has loved us in Christ. So love God and one another because he commands us to love. In the scriptures, loving God and the keeping of God's commandments go together. In the first place, where the love of God is mentioned is in Exodus chapter 20 and repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we read that the Lord shows mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus told the rich young ruler which of the commandments he was to keep. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to Jesus, I have all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The rich young ruler found that he could not obey what Jesus asked him to do. He loved himself and his belongings more than he loved God. And you may not be asked to give everything away to others, but try as you might, try as we might, we cannot keep God's commandments. You and I fail every day to live a perfect and holy life. In James chapter 2, we read that if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So we have the capacity to know love and express it, but it's not possible for us to keep his laws because by nature, we don't have a love for God. We are haters of God, says the word, and are guilty and commit sin every day. And we are not even worthy to draw near to God as we are. If we are to keep his commandments, we must have a love for God that is given to us. Given to us. A new desire to obey and please him. There's a need for a love of God which only comes from a changed heart. The love of God that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And the Lord gives us this new heart. In speaking to the house of Israel, Ezekiel says that the Lord will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then in chapter 5, verse 3, we read, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then, okay, which is the first and greatest commandment to keep? And this was the question that one of the scribes asked Jesus. He said, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It's only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who has created within us a new heart, that we can obey this greatest commandment, to love God first, fully, with everything we possess, and then love others with the love he's given to us. So the first reason is because God commands us to love. The second reason is because God is love. In 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows of God. And then he says, for God is love. He is love. That means that God's love is not just one of his attributes. Love is the fundamental nature of God's being. It's down beneath, it all permeates God. And everything comes out of his love. This means this is the nature of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes what the scripture says about who God is and what he's like. In answer to question number 4, what is God? Well, we read that God is a spirit. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And as God is all these things, his love underlies and permeates all of his attributes. As he is infinite, so is his love. His love has no boundaries. As he is eternal, his love will never cease. Jeremiah declared that God loves his people with an everlasting love. He cannot change, so nothing can change his love for us. And in a passage that you know well in Romans chapter 8, Paul asks the question, who will separate us from the love of God if he doesn't change? He answers it by declaring that he is persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as he is holy, righteous, and true, so is his love. So his love for us is boundless, and it lasts forever. So we are commanded to love with his love, because then he is love. He is, that's his nature. And he loved us, thirdly, and brought us to himself in sending his son into the world. That is how we see and know what love is. Love God and one another because God has sent his son. In verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. This is where we are to understand how the love of God was shown to us in the coming of his son. Christ came because we need to be made alive. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins and separated from God. We were unclean in his sight, like the leper that we heard about last Lord's Day. We were unworthy and only deserving of his judgment upon us. And then we read the words, but God. But God, Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. You and I need a Savior to make us spiritually alive, make us capable of love. And the wonder of God is in showing us his great love to us, in giving us life in Christ, and to sit together with the and to sit together in heavenly places. That's where we're to be, as if it's happened already. He's made a place, he's prepared a place for us. And he chose us in him, we read, before the foundation of the world. He set his love upon us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who can understand that? That's one amazing thing. One writer says there was an arrangement made in heaven. The covenant of redemption is the eternal agreement with the Godhead in which the Father appointed the Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit to redeem his elect people from the guilt and power of sin. God appointed Christ to live a life of perfect obedience to the law and to die a penal substitutionary sacrificial death as the covenantal representative for all who trust in him. Before the world was created, the triune God elected to redeem a people for himself. This love is beyond our ability to even comprehend the fullness and the wonder of God's redeeming love. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we can't even comprehend the fullness of it. But we are to seek to understand through his word when we are told about what the Lord Jesus did for us in him. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, comes to us through the person and work of his only begotten Son, who was sent to be our Savior. What did he do? He came into the world in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He lived a perfect life, and he shed his own blood as the spotless sacrifice for sins, bearing our sins in his body on the tree, and died that we might live. God punished his only Son in our place, satisfying his righteous justice. He made him who knew no sins to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's the love of Christ, the one who God sent into this world, his only begotten Son, to live and die for us and show us God's love. When we pause to consider all of what Christ has done in the work of our redemption, the words of Jesus then take on a greater meaning. When we begin to ponder this in our minds and in our hearts, we read these things sometimes and we just think, yes, this is what the Lord Jesus said. But think of what he actually says. He says in John 15:9-12, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Therefore, beloved, John, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." The most tender expression of the selflessness of human love is nothing in compared to God's love for us in Jesus Christ. His love for us is higher and more glorious than anything we can know in this world. The greatest love in this world is but a dim reflection of his love, the love that comes from above, the love of God to us and in us through the person and work of his only begotten Son. If you know the love of God in Jesus Christ, then show his love by loving one another with a selfless love. In 1 John 5:2, we read, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." We are enabled to keep his commandments with joy in our hearts, with being privileged to be able to live, look to the law as a law of life, not a law that condemns us, but a law of life comes from a merciful God who loves us and keeps us. And as we seek to please him, we know that we want to do what he wants. We want to obey his commandments. We want to live our lives in accordance with his word. So may we show this love of God to others. Go therefore then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the Great Commission. That's what we're called to do. Love God and love one another as Christ loved us. And we will have joy in our Christian lives, even in the darkest and deepest things we have to go through that are so discouraging at times. But his love endures forever and is everlasting. And then we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are called the children of God." And he says, "Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him." And then he says, "Beloved, we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall see him like he is. And he who has his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." That's our God, and that's the love we have, and that's the love we embrace. Let us embrace God and praise God, and embrace one another as we come to him in prayer. Amen.